16. And we looked at some of these thoughts here several weeks ago. We're going to look again if we can in Matthew 16 here. And just to give you some background, I love giving the context. If you don't have context, you will very easily have misconceptions, misunderstandings about a text of Scripture. And so let's look at the context here, Matthew 16, 13. The Bible says here, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Father, we've prayed before, but we did not ask Your blessing on the Word this morning. So we ask that today that You would be glorified and help us. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, we've started here a couple of weeks ago. What we're going to look at over the course of the next few Sundays, as the Lord will help us, it'll be sometime, we're going to be looking at the study here. We're going to look at the importance of the church. Now, specifically, they're going to talk about the importance of the local church. That's where I want to go to. We're using this as a text because this is the first mention of the word church in the New Testament. Jesus says in verse 18 of this chapter, He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." Now, just so you understand, we've said it before, He is not building the church on Peter. We understand the Greek word for Peter means a stone. We understand all that. But what He's doing is going to build His church upon verse number 16 and 17. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then God says this, God in the flesh says back, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And so God is going to build the church, Christ is going to build the church on the confession of people who confess by the Spirit of God that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, that Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's more than just a mental understanding of who Jesus is. I mean, I grew up knowing that Jesus was the Christ, and mentally. But it's not until you place personal faith in Him. John 17, 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So the idea of eternal life is the knowledge of who Christ is. Now, when we talk down here in verse number 18, Jesus says He's going to build His church. Tells me a couple of things. That number one, the church is not built by man, but it's built by Christ. It is a very reassuring fact to know that even though I'm the pastor, I am not responsible to build this local assembly. I'm not responsible to do that. Christ is responsible to build His church. Now, what do? We knock on doors. We give people the gospel. We give them tracts. We invite them to church. We put the sermons on the internet. I've had some folks call about radio and sometime back and don't feel quite led to do the radio yet. Did that for many years, but if the Lord would have us do radio, we may even reach out into the idea of reach out into radio. But the point is, whatever outreach we do, I'm not responsible to bring people into the church as far as building the church up. That is the job of the Spirit of God as they come under the conviction of the Spirit of God, of the Word of God, as the Word's being preached, and they're shown who Christ is. That's His job to build the church. And so I also see that the church, it's not mine to build, but it's not mine, period. Jesus said, "I will build my church." Now understand, we always say my church. I say my church, you've said my church, the church that I go to. Sometimes I'll say, you know, my church, my people. And in the sense that God has placed me here, yes, it's my church as far as my responsibility to oversee. But as far as ownership, I don't own anybody. Ultimately, your allegiance is to Christ, not to me. It's ultimately to the Lord Jesus. So understand that. And we're saying all that to say this, the local church has really fallen on hard times in the sense that people are tired of doing things the old-fashioned way.
People are tired of doing things the old-fashioned way. Now, if it worked back then, there's no reason it can't work today. Many places have gone this idea of being what has now been called seeker-friendly. It was Bill Hybels of Willow Creek, if I'm not mistaken, back in the 90s, who told people what you do is you have people, you have them go out into a neighborhood, pad a paper and a survey, find out what people in the neighborhood want in the church, and then you put that in the church to bring the people that you've surveyed into the church. Now, there's only one problem with that. It's not Bible. You don't build up a church that way. It's not my responsibility to go out and find out what kind of church a particular brand of sinner wants. Now, if we wanted to fill a building, we could do that. If we wanted to fill a building, all I have to do is change my dress standards, move this thing out of the way, take that old Bible and put it up on a shelf, change the lighting around in here, find a drummer, and I mean, we're good to go. And that's exactly what would happen. We would have this place packed out. I mean, you had to put a little darker paint on the walls and stuff too, you know. You know, make, you know, because folks, people love, you know, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Right. Now we could do those type of things. But the problem is that's catering to the flesh, what the world wants. Most people are not interested in doing things the way God wants them done. People say, well, just because it's old doesn't mean it's good. I understand that. There's a lot of things that were done years ago that aren't good. But the reason things are good that we do is because they're old. They've been done for a long time. We talk about the Psalms. The songs are not old, are not good because they're old. They're old because they're good. That's the reason we still sing those same hymns over and over again. And so Jesus tells us that He's going to build His church. Jeremiah 6:16 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for what? The old paths. Wherein is the good way and walk therein, and you shall find rest unto your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." And I'm going to tell you, those paths are good. Amen. You'll find rest. And it's a matter of just going and doing things as the way God has always had it done. So, now that doesn't mean that every church has got to sing the same number of songs, take up the offering at the same time. Some churches have choir singing. Some folks, you know, don't have choir singing. Some folks have a lot of special singing, all those type things. Whatever the case may be, the thing is we got to do things the old-fashioned way, simply preaching the Bible, singing the hymns, loving on sinners, bringing them into church. And so, I know some folks who've said this. They'll say this. Well, I can worship God just as well as home as I can at church. There's something else wrong with that. In fact, there's only one thing wrong with that. It ain't so. Because it's not Bible. We are to assemble ourselves, how? Together. Together. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. And so understand this, that the local church is God's ordained means, His vehicle for accomplishing His work on this earth till He returns. Any work, anything done outside of the local church is outside of the jurisdiction of what God has already said needs to be done, the way the work needs to be done. So any work that I do is outside of a local church. If somebody goes out and you know, we start a nursing home ministry, a jail ministry, you know, if we were to start a food pantry or anything like that, if the Lord were to release anything, everything would be done under the authority and the oversight of the local church. So, why is the local church important? Now, a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned there were some things that we said were important about the church, period. We said it's where we hear the preaching of the Word of God. We had 10 reasons. Number two, we all have different parts to place, and so every member in the body has a particular set of gifts that you contribute to the body. Okay? We said this, we're to be obedient to Hebrews 10:25, which we've already talked about. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3 says, "These things write we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." We have fellowship one with another in the local church. The reason we come is because we fellowship. Now, several of us in here, we'll play a musical instrument. And we'll sometimes get together after church and we'll play. But our fellowship is not around the music. Can I get a witness? Several of us in here like to go outside in the woods and fish, you know, hunt, track animals, go outside just to be in the woods. This is my favorite time of year. I love it. I get so excited when I see fall come on. Not because I'm going to go outside and kill anything. It's just I'm going to go outside and I'm going to just enjoy the fall. Now, I know it's just a harbinger of what's coming up down the road. You know, that cold, ice cold. And it's going to be a cold winter this year, I believe. So I could be wrong. Looks like it's going to be cold. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Now, wait a second. That was not an amenable statement, brother. All right. We're going to have a church in after church today. You just y'all wait around. Amen. Amen. But we enjoy doing those things. But our fellowship is not around the hunting, the fishing, the camping. It's not around those things. Our fellowship is around a person, and that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is why we're here. He is why we're here. And so we fellowship around Him. We come to church because He gives us hope. Gives us hope. We've all had situations in our lives where let me put it in good old East Tennessee language, we've had the stuffing beat out of us. Okay? And sometimes we come in like a whoop pup, dragging in here with our tail between our legs, hunkered down, not knowing which end's up, and wondering what in the world's going on, and then all of a sudden we start singing the songs of Zion. Something begins to stir on the inside. Somebody who's in there begins to let us know He's still in there. The ice begins to melt a little bit. We start feeling the blood flow again, spiritually speaking, and understand that God who made promises is the same God who's going to keep those promises. Abraham, according to Romans 4, was fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. So we come to here for hope. And we do all that. Number 6 that somebody gave us was congregational worship. Not just fellowship with one another, but fellowship with Christ. We're worshiping Him as a body together. We come here also to discern His will. Many folks in here, how many of y'all were in the church house when you got saved? In the church house when you got saved. How many of you were in church? Maybe about half. Maybe about half. Now, I was in the church when I got called to preach. I was in the church when I got saved. In the church when I got called to preach. One sitting on the third row from the back, the other one sitting on the very back row. I was a back row Baptist. And God still, can you believe God made it all the way back to the back row? Amen. Brother Kevin saying, Lord, do it again. Amen. Amen. But I learned God's will for my life in the church. And that's why I feel so sad. I'm positive there are people that the message that God had for them was given on the Sunday that they didn't show up. And it's amazing when God's people show up at God's house, God has the message for those people, what they need to hear. So much help has been taken and not even been taken, have an opportunity to take that help because people have not been in the church house. Okay? We also come to church, not just to discern His will. Number 8, we come to church because we give to missions. Somebody said, Preacher, I think we ought to have church in the house like they did back in the New Testament. I'm fine with that. It doesn't bother me a bit. As long as we can have Faith Promise Missions program, that's fine. I'm good. We got to give to missions. Missions is scriptural. We come to do that. We come to hear the Word of God, to learn the Word of God. Number 9. And then lastly, we come to pray. Jesus said that of all nations, my house will be called what? A house of prayer. And so we come to church where we can have a time of prayer. And generally that's what we do on Wednesday nights especially. Now we'll have prayer room at 5:30. Ladies will have theirs, the men will have ours. And we'll get together and we'll pray for some of the needs that we have. And so those are the reasons that the local church is important. But I want to ask you this question. I think I started this a couple of weeks ago. Brother Harvey was with us last week. But what are some things that are important for us personally? Why is it that we love our local church? Why do we love our church? I want to ask you this question. Number one, do you love the church? So I can take a spiritual thermometer, take your spiritual temperature by asking you two or three questions. Number one, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? The answer to that question determines heaven or hell. And determines joy and life and help on this earth. Amen. Amen. What do you think of the cross? For the preaching of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:18, is to them that perish, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. What do you think of the cross? What do you think of the cross? I can start with Elizabeth. Pick on Elizabeth. And then pick on Savannah. And then come over here to Savannah's dad. And then Elizabeth's dad and mom. And go all the way back, come all the way back around and ask us, what do you think of Christ? What do you think of the cross? What part does the cross play in your daily life? Because the Bible says, unto us which are saved, present tense, it is, present tense, the power of God. We'll talk about that tonight when we go through Romans 6 again. So what do you think of Christ? What do you think of the cross? And number three, what do you think of the church? I can ask you those three questions and get a pretty good indication of your spiritual temperature. Some of you are healthy and well. You're 98.6. You're not running a fever. You're doing great. Amen. Amen. Some of you are suffering from hypothermia. Spiritual hypothermia. And there's some folks, they're sick nine to death. I'm telling you. Depends on your attitude toward those things. One of the reasons that I know that I'm saved is because I have a love for the church that I did not have 27 years ago. If you would have told me, hey, it's Friday night, let's go to revival meeting. Are you kidding? There ain't no way. I wasn't going fishing. I was going somewhere else. Yeah, I was going somewhere else. Fishing was for Saturday morning if you could get up in time. Yeah. What do you think of the church? I saw a church sign years ago, and I try to put scripture on the church sign. We're going to change that today sometime today, David, so I'm going to let you remind me today. But I remember seeing a sign, and I couldn't tell you where it is. It seemed like it might have been North Carolina years ago down south. It said this, if absence makes the heart grow fonder, people sure do love church. Thought, that's amazing. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, people sure do love church. My desire now is to go to revival meeting on Friday night if I can. I don't mind going. Now again, I understand once you're married, you have children, you go to as many meetings as you can, and then after a while, you've got to, let homework and housework and other stuff come in. I understand that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to push folks crazy. But understand this, that when we were physically able to just, hey honey, you ready to go to a meeting? Sure, let's go. Remember those days you could just talk to your wife, your husband? You just got in the car and you just went. Then you had children. Then you had to pack the kitchen, the bathroom, but you had to pack it all. Remember those days. You had to pack it all up. You couldn't quite go as fast. But still yet, you managed to get out and do those things. Those obstacles did not hinder us from going to church. They didn't hinder us from doing that. And so, if we ask those questions, why is our church important? Do you love the church? And so that's the question that I'm wanting to look here. Why is it that our church exists? What's our purpose? Can somebody tell me why the Victory Independent Baptist Church, why do we exist? Why are we here? Well, preacher, Brother Tommy Hensley and some folks got together in 1983 and they started the church. I understand that. I know that. I understand the church. I understand this church's history. 34 years ago. Amen. I understand that. But why is it that our church exists, beside from the fact that the church was started out of another church, scripturally started, put together as the arm of another church? Why is it that our church exists? Can somebody tell me? We exist, Brother Allen says, number one, to lead people to Calvary. Can I get it? Yeah. The purpose of Christ, for the Son of Man, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if that was the purpose of life for our Master, should that not also be our purpose as well, for our Lord? Amen. So we lead people to Calvary. Why else are we here? We're here to edify the saints. Because God puts in the church, there are no more apostles and prophets, but there are evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we build up the saints so we can do the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4. And we do those things. Those build one on top of another. So we come so that we can be built up. I hope that I am a better understander. I understand more now than I understood years ago. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. I knew it was going to come to me in just a minute. That was it. And of course, perfecting there has the idea of bringing in maturity. Bringing to maturity. The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. That's it. Amen. Now, so we come to lead people to Calvary, to build the saints up. Let me ask you this question. What is the number one goal, ultimately, in the life of every believer? What should be the ultimate goal? So, our number one goal is to bring glory to God. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do is to ultimately bring glory to God. So let me ask you a question. Can we bring glory to God? I'm talking to myself as well as everybody here. Can we bring glory to God by doing things half-heartedly? As the Spanish folk would say, that would be imposible. Impossible. No es posible. It's not possible. We cannot do things in a half-hearted way and expect to glorify God. I was down at the hardware store here. It's been a couple of weeks ago, and I had that paper cutter and those little rubber-looking things they put. I don't even know what those things are for. Yeah. No, it's not the labels. Those are little rubber things you had to cut up. And so when they drill the holes, I don't remember. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And I kept going through there, and I cut umpteen of those things. And I kept tearing them up. Now, they looked ugly. You can still use them, but they were ugly. And you're going to think I'm crazy, but here's what I kept telling myself. I kept telling myself this. That is not excellent. I said, that is not excellent. And so I got it to where I did two at a time. And I could trim them just fine. I said, that's excellent. And then I messed them up. I said, that's not excellent. What am I doing wrong? Help. And then I figured out if I put my arm and held that paper cutter to where it had a brace and I pulled that blade down to the side, it sliced everything nice and neat. So instead of cutting two at a time, I'd cut a package of 25 in two strokes. Wham, wham, and do them excellent. Excellent. And that's what we ought to do as a church, as a believer. When Brother Artie plays that guitar, Brother, I believe he's trying to play that thing excellent. Brother Roger, when you're playing guitar or the bass or whatever it is, you know, you're not walking up and down, not Rebecca Caracoing that thing, but you're putting them things on the background. You're playing it excellent. Amen. When you get up here and you begin to lead the singing, you don't just do it kind of half-hearted. You don't do it because it's a job to do. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Amen. And I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. I am resolved. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining. Like, shoot him out of the sky. Amen. Amen. But what you do, and I'm not making fun of you. I'm saying I've seen some people just lead singing that way. You want to do it in an excellent fashion. You do it to be excellent. Why? We want to be excellent not for excellence sake, but for the sake, the glory of God. Whatever we do it all for the glory of God. So we exist to evangelize people. We exist to evangelize the sinners, edify the saints, and exalt the Savior. That's it. We exist for those reasons. We exist for those reasons. And so, what we have to decide as a church, we've got to do things in a way that's excellent. And if we start doing things excellent, baby steps here and there at a time, pretty soon it will bleed out to everything that we do. Amen. So, we think about the importance of the local church, why we exist. We're going to pick up with some of that. And then what I'm going to do, if the Lord will help us, is we're going to look in the Scriptures and find out what God expects of us as a local church. And there is so much. The book of Ephesians tells us all kinds of things. We see things in Philippians, Colossians. We can even go to Revelation 2 and 3. What does God expect us as a church? If Jesus were to come walking in here right now, He was going to walk among the candlesticks in Greenfield. Well, number one, this is a candlestick. This is a church. I believe He'd come in here. But what would He say? What would He say? That's something to think about. Something to think about. Well, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll give you a few minutes. This clock remembers about 2 minutes fast, so we'll give you about 5 minutes before we come back in here and start a morning service. Father, please take the word this morning. Use it for your glory. We pray that you'd get glory today, Father, in everything that's done. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask these things. Not as